Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Thayer.
I respect Matt Nagy and his visor.
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
There was one time we were playing Tampa short yardage goal line. I was in the end zone waiting for Harbaugh to throw me the ball. Instead of throwing the ball, he ran it in. And I go, Jim, you could have padded your stats by throwing me a one-yard pass. He goes, I know, but I thought you'd drop it.
Did you think you had good hands?
I know I did.
41-12.
Look at these things.
1985 Super Bowl champion.
Walter Payton, Mike Ditka, hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans.
Tom Thayer with Molly and Hall on 670 The Score.
Bears.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to a legend, and he is the great Tom Thayer, and he is presented on the guest hotline by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Oh, man, Victory Monday. You know, it's a good day. Even it seems like it's sunny out, even though it's cloudy when the Bears win.
It's so true, and it was such a needed victory. I mean, you know, we saw what happened in L.A., and you get back to Soldier Field, and the crowd is out, and the energy. I'm not saying that's why the defense played well, but, boy, the defense played well. And it was a relief almost to see that because, you know, we had Mike Lombardi on last week. He called them the most overrated unit in the league, the Bears defense, and they answered that criticism. And I thought we saw great pressure up front, and you saw really a team that threatened a good young quarterback and pressured him and forced mistakes.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of creativity on the defensive line that put uncertainty in the mind of the offensive line. They questioned their responsibilities in protection. They had a result of Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn running a really efficient stunt on the against the left-hand side where Khalil gave himself up and Robert Quinn was able to capitalize. They had Eddie Jackson at the line of scrimmage on a third and one that he was able to make penetration and make a play. So I like to see the different scheming that Sean Desai introduced in this game. I know it's week two and they were looking for things to help them out from a lack of pressure in the Rams game. And, you know, they have a group of athletes. I hope they continue to move them around. And I think the best thing you can do is if you have a young quarterback like Justin or you have an offensive line like Cincinnati, and you put a lot of different bodies at the line of scrimmage, and they have to be identified properly. If you don't identify them, you're gonna get pressure because of it.
So, Tom, soon the buzz will start to build over a quarterback who will be possibly likely starting against the Browns, who completed less than 50% of his passes, had a hand in three penalties, threw a really bad interception, and led and created another turnover. And I know why, because Justin Fields has immense potential, and he will be a star. Yes, he will be a star, but he's got a long way to go. How would you evaluate what happened Sunday and what's next?
You know, to me, is I would take a couple periods during the week of practice, and I would turn him into blitz pickup, and I would have him start reading the line of scrimmage according to the pass protection he called in the huddle to make sure he understands everybody's responsibility, and that is an obligation of a quarterback when you're talking about picking up hot reads, because you're going to get blitzed relentlessly until you show that you have the ability to make the right decision at the line of scrimmage and take advantage of it. But I also take a little bit out of the game plan from the Baltimore game last night, and I let Justin Fields run with more frequency, because I think when you start spreading out the defenders in the width of the field rather than just trying to all meet in the backfield at the quarterback position, you're going to open up running lanes on the interior for David Montgomery. And that's the key ingredient. It's not about Justin Fields throwing for 400 yards. It's about creating interior running lanes so you can take advantage of a back with the determination of David Montgomery that he turns a hard 2 to 3 yard run into a 12 or 14 yard run. And it changes the responsibilities of all the defenders, and now you open up running opportunities to the edge for Justin. And then all of a sudden you take a running quarterback play and you turn it into a play action pass on the move. You turn it into a bootleg. You give him multiple decisions outside the framework of the defense that is going to identify multiple level receivers. And I'm not saying it's an easier decision, but it's a more efficient decision when you're getting away from the blitzes that they're showing at you right now.
It's interesting, Tom, because I think there is a real opportunity here for the Bears defense to get even better. I know that that Cleveland likes to run the ball. I know that Cleveland's quarterback has a little shoulder issue. You get Eddie Goldman back, and that really helps you shut down the run. You get Mario Edwards back from his suspension, and he's eligible, and that helps you rush the passer too. So I think the depth of this group should improve, and maybe especially if Goldman can play, that helps you a ton in stopping the run.
Oh, Molly, I agree 100% with you. To me, though, it's more of Eddie Goldman. You have to prove it to me. You have to prove it to me that you have the desire and the want to be on the field. When I look at Mario Edwards Jr., he shows that every day in practice and his relentless style of either rushing the passer or playing the run. Couldn't be more impressed with Blau Nichols and Angelo Blackson and Akeem Hicks, what they were able to do yesterday. They really played a strong interior game. You look at a couple times that these guys were taken on multiple double teams, and Alex Ogletree and Roquan Smith were able to run free because of it. So, yeah, I'm all in with the defensive line. And, again, it's Sean Desai moving these guys around. Okay, you're not going to put Bilal or Angelo Blackson or even Akeem in a standard defensive tackle 3-point, 4-point stance over the guard. I think it was the second play of the game. Akeem Hicks was in a 2-point stance rushing outside the right tackle. Blau Nichols did the same thing. Angelo did the same thing. Mario Edwards is capable of doing the same thing. Kyrus Tonga can sit in the middle over the top of the center when they want to play a standard front and demand a double team that's still going to allow some freedom to the linebacker. I said this a couple weeks ago, when I saw what Eddie Goldman and how he played in the 10 snaps he had in the Tennessee game, I was thinking, whoa, man, this guy is on the cusp of something big. But you got to be on the field. You got to show up at practice every day. You have to have a reflection to your teammates and your coaches that you're willing and ready to get at it and be an assistance to the numbers game as far as what you're looking to activate on for your defensive line. And I'm with you, Molly. And if you put this defensive line in the creative places that you've showed this week, then you can really you can challenge that offensive line and the whole offensive scheme of Cleveland.
Tom, given your experience and insight, being around football as long as you have, when you hear that Andy Dalton could have a bone bruise, what is the reasonable recovery time from that? And is it possible that Andy Dalton has made his last start for the Bears?
I don't think so. You know, a lot of time that's determined by the pain threshold of the player. What is exactly doing to aggravate this situation? Is it a certain drop step? Is it moving to the right or moving to the left with regularity that kind of activates that thing? Because there's guys all around the league that can tweak a meniscus or get a bone bruise, but, you know, sometimes you can play through it until it kind of heals itself. And I think we'll all get a better understanding of Andy on Wednesday and where he lines up on the injury report. But I got to believe over his 10-year career, he hasn't been 100% for every game he's ever played in. So I got to believe he's experienced a situation before like this in his career. And there's no better advice than to take the advice of the player. And, you know, I hope he's still a part of it, because I do think he plays an important role in the preparation of the opponent, whether you're going to play Justin and start him and he's going to play 4 quarters, or you have a rotating scale between the quarterback position that continues to keep the defensive coordinator off balance. And if I was Matt, I wouldn't admit anything. and I would let it be known next Sunday when they kick off against Cleveland.
What did you think of the center quarterback exchange with Justin Fields? It seemed like there was some issue or other that that he said the officials talked to him about.
You know, I really think, you know, and again, it's a phrase that Dick Stanfield, our offensive line, used to use all the time, and if you think, you're beat. And I do think that Justin, as much as he knows what he's saying in the huddle, he's still thinking when he breaks the huddle. And that kind of puts a little bit of hesitancy in any position of any player. And now when you're looking at multiple bodies move around the line of scrimmage, sometimes you don't achieve the rhythm of the cadence that you will down the road. And so as you're thinking and you're harping out the cadence, you get a little jittery. And if you give a false movement to the defense, the officials are going to call that. So I just think it's, you know, time is going to heal that. That's not really a concern. It's more of Justin being able to gain the experience of the terminology and how it computes to the line of scrimmage will put him more at ease when he gets to know the system better.
Tom, Roquan Smith reminded me of Lance Briggs yesterday. I don't know if that's a good comparison or not. I wondered what went through your mind seeing him run back that pick six. And just, you know, he seems like a guy who is on the verge of taking that next step to an elite level as an NFL linebacker.
You know, I think he was ready for it because there was one, I think it was in the first series or the second series, it was really similar to where he started his coverage and where he ended up, and he, you know, almost was in the way of another interception. But, yeah, it did remind me of Lance, and Lance was a super instinctful player, and what he read, he trusted, and he was able to explode on the opportunities. When you look at where Roquan started and where he ended his coverage and made the interception, I don't think Joe Burrow expected him to be there. He runs well. He's super fluid. He's intelligent. He's got great desire. And it was a great catch. And it was, when you look at where he made the catch and the bodies in front of him, I didn't think he was going to score, but you got blockers in front of him. He pushed Burrow out of the way, the tight end he ran away from, and, you know, it was an ultimate prize opportunity for the guy sitting in the first stands when he first rolled his stands yeah. when he gave him the football.
I loved him saying he regretted giving the ball away, but he probably made the guy's day. I mean, it's pretty funny.
A really quick story, Walter Payton's last game, he scored a touchdown and he threw the ball into the stands. And there was a guy from my hometown that caught it. I brought him downstairs after the game to get the ball signed by Walter Payton. And so, you know, it's 61,500 people in there in the stands. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity when something, a gift, you know, comes your way.
Oh, that's great. Cool. Tom, what's going on with the tight end position? Do you understand Jimmy Graham's usage or lack thereof? Is it a question of injury? Is it the compromised offensive line and needing Jesse James to play more? What is going on with the tight end position?
Yeah, I'm confused. I asked Matt about it immediately following the game, and it's almost like why didn't Walter Payton score in the Super Bowl? You kind of lose track of what you're trying to get to a certain player. It's just because you're caught up in the flow of the game. And when you play multiple quarterbacks, you really don't develop that consistency of the relationship that we see other quarterbacks around the league have with their tight end. I don't think it's going to be ignored. I don't think you'll ever get another game where they're untargeted throughout the game because – it's not about Jimmy Graham. It's about Cole Kmet and then how Jimmy Graham is the second option in quarterback in the tight end position. I think there was multiple times where they had good formations where they had three tight ends on the field. One time they had a penalty, and one time Justin went in the opposite direction of Jimmy Graham being covered by Von Bell. So I just think it's, you know, just kind of something that got away from him in the course and the flow of that game. But the more of a better understanding of the offense that Justin gets, I think that this will still be one of the more targeted tight end in the National Football League. Tight end
Tom,
group.
Mully, Molly and I went on kind of a get-off-our-lawn rant earlier about fourth and one and the Bears going for it when they could have kicked a field goal to take a 10-0 lead. And the metrics certainly saying, you know what, you should always go for it on fourth and one, when in fact the context of the game maybe called for something else. What did you think?
All right, let's go back to last week, because last week they went for it on fourth and four a couple times. They went through it on fourth and long, too, in a desperate situation. But in fourth and four twice, they had the perfect play called and designed. And unfortunately, one time Andy Dalton missed the blitz pickup to go to Cole Kmet. And the second one, he should have thrown it to the back out of the backfield that would have had an uninterrupted first down. So, you know, a lot of it is depending upon where you are on the field, what's the situation, and how desperate are you for points, trying to catch up or keep the lead. And I think every fourth down kind of has a life of its own. But, you know, if you're talking about fourth and one, you better be able to break the huddle with a bread-and-butter power play, and you should be able to go to the line of scrimmage and say, okay, we're going to run the ball right here, try to stop us for 1 yard. And, you know, to me as an ex-offensive lineman, you know, that was always the biggest challenge that, you know, our coach has put before us, is if we can't gain a yard, you're no good anyways. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the way I feel about it. And last, like I said, last week on the fourth and fours, good plays called, but they just weren't run efficiently.
But Tom, you made a fortune as a player. They got a defensive tackle that makes more than the entire offensive line. They weren't getting that Thayer money.
Gee, are you kidding me? They pay more in taxes than I made in my career. So I'm not buying that. But, you know, I still think there's different phases of this, you know, this team. You're starting to develop. You're trying to, you know, create some continuity on the offensive line. You know, you had some penalties that showed up at the perfectly wrong time. And so, you know, Matt said it a couple of years ago, he's going to have an aggressive attitude, and that's what he's going to do. But on the fourth and one, when you get them run at you, you know, Joe Mixon, that dude, he's a tough tackle. He's a tough for lost tackle. And I think it only maybe happened one time when Eddie Jackson got him on that third and one.
Yeah.
Great stuff as always, Tom. Always a joy to talk to you. Looking forward to next week.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, man. Good talking to you guys. See you guys.
You too.
That's Tom Thayer. Great stuff from him. He's got that Thayer money. You know.
Fourth and one, I think what he's saying is have a play that may be better than a quarterback sneak. Give it to David Montgomery and see if he can plow ahead the way Joe Mixon did against the Bears.
Yeah, and I still think even if you're running the perfect play, David, fourth down plays are different for each team running them. And you got to look
at it. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different than people want to make it as simple as could be, and I'm not sure it is. All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone calls. Are we going to see the kind of Bears team we thought we would? Are we going to see defense trying to get past offense, or do you expect the offense to take a step with Justin Fields likely under center? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Wins are hard, right? They're freaking hard.
How about that defense?
I talked about stopping number 28. We got 20 carries for 69 yards. We have 58 with the pick six.
Hey, you might have to play a little offense, baby.
Whoa. Number 33, huh? And then 90 hits the jumps every week, baby. But you forgot about 38. That was a hell of a game, and like I said, I know this much. Defense, you freaking swarm, baby. You swarm all over the place. You felt it. Hey, that's the way to respond to adversity. That's what we do.
Club dub.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That was Matt freaking Nagy in the postgame. Compliments of Chicago Bears Twitter. Thank them for sharing. And I Club Dub, still do it for you, David?
Well, hey, let them celebrate however they want. As he said, they know how hard it is to win a game in the stinking – win a stinking game in the National Football League, as he said earlier. So nothing about that bothered me, concerned me, except for one little thing that I heard. Did you pick up on it? When he was complimenting Roquan Smith, and he said he may have to play a little offense.
Oh, boy. Another tight end.
Is that a good idea? No, but he wants to play. He wants to be a great gimmick, wouldn't it? Have Roquan Smith on the offensive huddle.
Nice tight end. Another tight end. You only have the five. Let's get to it. Okay, David. I thought that that Tom Thayer made a great differentiation between the return of Mario Edwards Jr. from a suspension and the return of Eddie Goldman from oblivion almost, right? So I do think there's a difference between the two. I think Goldman could help them more, but I think that there is this I'm from Missouri, you got to show me element that's going on.
I suppose, you know, the one thing that I feel like, and maybe we have contributed to this as well, if Eddie Goldman is hurt, then it's a legitimate injury. I don't know that because of his injury that we have a right to question his willingness to want to play. I know that was a storyline in the offseason and the questions about retirement, but I think that until we see him actually play and evaluate his investment emotionally and otherwise, that may be, you know, I understand why people are hesitant, but I guess I'm in a wait-and-see mode. I'm going to reserve judgment on Eddie Goldman. I do think there's a distinction to be made between Goldman and Edwards. I think both guys probably have a little to prove when they come back.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with John. John's on the west side. Morning, John.
Hey, guys, enjoying your show. Nagy, I don't have any doubts about Justin Field. I don't see it the same. To me, he made a few mistakes, but if some of the guys would have caught the balls, it's a different outcome. And if you take a horse and you put a bridle in his mouth, that's to control it. And that's what Nagy did in the second half. He put a bridle on him. And he's going to ruin him if Pace don't step in and demand that, take the offensive calling plays from him. They're going to ruin it because they are not handling him right. And my last statement, I picked the Bears to win this week. Take a while for me to explain it, but they're going to beat Cleveland. But they got to take the call in place from Nagy. I'll hang up. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean,
thanks for the phone call.
I don't argue with what John says. I just don't think they're going to do it. Do you?
No, I don't think they're going to do it. I think, but there is this growing sense and prevailing opinion among Bears fans that the Bears every week face two opponents, the enemy and overcoming Matt Nagy's play calling.
His freaking play calling. Let's try Donald. Donald's on the west side. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, gentlemen. I kind of concur with the last caller, man. Justin Fields, if those balls are caught, the touchdown, and then the other ones, they don't look that bad. But Matt Nagy has to call plays to his strengths. It's like as soon as Dalton went out, we went strictly read option and letting him read and hand the ball off or take the ball off on his own. Now, if you're trying to protect him, you're eventually going to get him hurt doing that, in my sense. It makes sense to me that might happen. But as far as his arm talent, man, get him on the boundaries, roll him out, you know, change the launch point, do something more creative, man, you know, just be yourself. Like, to me, he's trying to be like the Baltimore Ravens, you know, first with the Kansas City Chiefs, just be yourself. All right, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Can I read you something? Can I read you something, David?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is from a column I enjoyed this morning. Your precious play sheet, destined to one day to wallpaper a room in your house, offers a reminder before every snap to be you, aggressive, innovative, and bold. Except this was no time in an NFL game for individuality, no place for aggression, innovation, or boldness. The moment called for smart, safe, and boring. You wrote that about what happened on third down when they threw an interception. And let me tell you something. That's the best thing I've read this morning as I've gone through everything. You know, I just think sometimes you out-clever yourself. And sometimes you are not using what you have in the fashion in which you should. It would make your life a lot easier.
Well, thanks. And I think that's what I came away with the first – that was my dominant thought when I sat down in the press box. I couldn't get that out of my head, the fact that the head coach, who also calls plays, increased the degree of difficulty of winning that football game. That's not the idea of the exercise. Your coaching staff is supposed to put your team in the best position to win. 3 minutes, 50 seconds to go in the game. You're on your own 23. You got a rookie quarterback who, frankly, is struggling, looking like a rookie quarterback. Why in the world would you call a passing play on third and seven, when you could, the result, it could be the incomplete, which stops the clock, intercepted, which changes the game, or you might complete the pass, which moves the chains, but you know what? You're up 10. So it's a two-score game anyway. Run the ball, eat the clock, punt it if you don't make it, let your defense, which, by the way, has already created four takeaways, win the game for you. Sometimes Matt Nagy can't get out of his own way as the play caller, and I think him being a play caller, which is the overall point, gets in the way of him being a effective head coach.
Michael is on the south side. Good morning, Michael.
Yeah, you're talking about that play when he had him pass the ball, but it was another mistake that Nagy did. Y'all never talked about it. On that quarterback sneak, prior to that, Montgomery had made the first down.
Right.
It was a horrible spot. But then on the quarterback sneak, that was even a worse spot. Right? You can challenge that, right? He never challenged it.
That was mentioned a couple times on social media as well. I didn't really get a good look as some people did, Mully. I'm not sure if you did or not, but that was an opinion I saw bandied about on the Twitter machine.
I thought that I thought they should have challenged the play before, and I guess I thought they should have run that again. I think you give the ball to David Montgomery there, and you're in much better shape, in my opinion. Let's try Roberto. He's on the Odyssey app. Good morning, Roberto.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Great.
I just really want to say the defense played very 2018-esque, and I loved every second of it. You guys actually just mentioned it. The one mistake that I did not like from Justin Fields yesterday was throwing the ball with 3 minutes and some change to go in the game. He should have ate the sack, just like Mahomes should have done last night. But what I loved the most about Justin Fields was his post-match press conference, when he talked about how he was eager to go back into the room and go see his mistakes and work hard and do better for the team. But overall, I think it was a great day for the Bears. And, of course, you know, it's never going to be perfect, but we all got what we wanted in Fields, and it's only going to get better.
You want more from Fields, don't you?
Yeah.
He means you got to see him for an extended period of time, but you cannot be satisfied with the performance, 6 of 13, passer rating 27.7.
Again, passer rating is all about, you know, you're punished for interception. So that explains his passer rating. And he could have had a touchdown and not an interception. I mean, it could have turned around. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. I didn't understand why they called the Andy Dalton plays for Justin Fields. That's what confounded me. I thought there was an understanding these are two different guys and that you're on two different tracks and you are developing one guy and you are using another guy. I didn't know that the idea was to fit Justin Fields into a square peg, an Andy Dalton peg. I thought that there was an understanding that he was to be used differently. And I had heard before the game there were wow plays in practice, that everybody was weak-kneed watching this. Where the hell was the wow? I didn't see wow, David.
What it suggests is that the Bears went into this game with only a red zone package for Justin Fields and did not have the intention of playing him more than a couple plays here and there as gimmick and also in the red zone, but the entire package to run the offense – that was something we expected, but maybe Matt Nagy was not prepared for.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Third down and seven. Back to the left is Williams. Snap. Here comes the blitz by Bates, and it's intercepted by Logan Wilson. 20, 15, 10. And he's brought down to the ground by Williams. A blitz you knew was coming. Delivers for the Bengals. 3:43 to go in the game, and they are going to be first in goal.
Staying aggressive, that's kind of our mindset. Like, if you run the ball, you don't get it, then you make them use a timeout, but you're not even giving yourself a chance to get the first down. So we're going to stay aggressive with our mentality of how we do that. We want to be smart with the play call and what it is, right? And every play call we talk through throughout the week, and we know what we're going to and what we're not. But we're going to try to stay more on the aggressive side in that situation.
Oh, it's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. There's your catch-all phrase, Mr. David. It forgives anything. Bad third down call, bad play, going for it on fourth down. Stay aggressive. Just aggressive.
What's frustrating is that there's no evidence or proof on which that answer is based. What's frustrating is that, yeah, aggressive is fine, but even with the Bears celebrating a victory and reopening Club Dub for the first time in a long time, they scored 20 points. And Molly Olin pulled out the stat, and I haven't done the research to that degree, but the plays, the games in which he has called plays, is not that hard to look at. They've averaged somewhere between 18 and 20 points per game. The aggressive approach isn't always the be-all and end-all. It shouldn't be one-size-fits-all. You need to have context in the decisions that you make. And sometimes aggressiveness is the wrong instinct to follow. So in that case, in my opinion, in our opinion, it wasn't the right thing to do to follow your gut. You need to sometimes, you know, step aside, put your ego on the shelf, make the call that gives your team the best chance to win.
You know, I'd be curious to look at that statistic and to take away the plays in which the Bears scored after a turnover or scored because of good field position or scored defensively. And I think that if you look at the game that we just saw, they scored 7 points on the opening drive of the game. And I'm not sure how much credit the offense gets for any other points in that game.
Opening drive, you know, Andy Dalton, that's the way it's supposed to work, but it's the opening drive. Also, one touchdown of the 20 points came from who? The defense. How much is aggressiveness really paying off? And you have to have sometimes, you know, prudence is recommended as well. I just sometimes don't get it, and I think that it's unfortunate. We're not trying to pick on a guy, but you start to look at the trends that are developing over time. This isn't just an immediate thing. This is something that's persisted over seasons.
Saying I'm going to be aggressive is not a catch-all forgiveness phrase, so let's just get that straight. Our thanks to BBM for the cut. Yeah. The interception cut, and of course, that was Matt Nagy answering your question. David, the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
All right, Tyler's on the road. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, morning, guys. I called in last Monday, just another quick recap. With Keem Hicks roughing the passer, he almost had another one early in the game this week, but primarily what I wanted to talk about today was Allen Robinson. He had that touchdown catch. He had that one catch, I can't remember if it was second, third down, where he broke a tackle, made the first down. But kind of stemming from last year, stuff that's just mind-boggling is like those 50-50 balls that – last year I remember in the end zone, got picked, and it seemed like he didn't make a lot of those 50-50 balls. And that drop pass that Fields just threw a dime on, and he drops in the end zone. I'm just trying – it's just head-scratching kind of thinking, okay, he wants to get paid top five receiver money, but – top five receivers are going to make those 50-50s more often than not, and especially if it's going right through your hands in the end zone. It's just mind-boggling kind of thinking, like, you know, he's a good player. He's the best wide receiver on the team, and I think Darnell Mooney definitely had a drop too, but I'm just kind of figuring, you know, why are we paying this? Why would we, you know, pay him the money that he wants to make when he's not really getting those 50-50 balls that a top five receiver should make?
Well, he is being paid as a top five receiver. He's making $18 million, and you're absolutely correct. With the big number against the cap, there is expectation. The money creates the expectation. He should have caught the pass, period.
And he'll be the first one, I bet, to tell you that. He should have caught that pass. You don't imagine other great receivers in the NFL dropping that pass under those circumstances. Maybe it did hang up there a little bit, as Biggsy alluded to. Maybe the hand of the defender got in the way. But if you're Allen Robinson and you're a bona fide number one wide receiver, you make the catch and you celebrate.
Wayne's in Indiana. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Molly. How you guys doing, David?
Good.
Wanted to tell you guys, it's always just great talking to you guys. You guys are super Chicago sports people, and just really, really great to talk to you. Anyway, Mo, I want to tell you before I get to my Bears thing, old Mark Sanchez kept saying yesterday on the TV, he said, I sure wish they would roll him out and get him moving so he could use his strengths to keep the plays alive and get the ball downfield. And then that's what goes to my question to you guys. Do you think Matt Nagy is afraid and doesn't trust his offense enough because he's so afraid of turnovers to open up the book and get the ball down the field?
Huh. Yeah, I don't think it's fear of turnovers. I think that I think that he's trying to teach his particular offensive prowess. I think he's trying to run. You know, first of all, they are handcuffed a little bit by that offensive line. They don't have any highly paid, really great player on that line. That creates issues. So I think you're playing within those restrictions. But I thought they were more aggressive than they have been. They certainly were not aggressive at all, and that probably was fear of one particular pass rusher. But, you know, that's a good defensive front that they faced, and they were a little bit overwhelmed. And, David, they got some real good pass rushes in Cleveland too.
They really do, and that's not the defense maybe they thought it would be, but it's still going to be one that's going to cause some problems for whoever plays quarterback. If it is Justin Fields, then I think you're Matt Nagy, you got an opportunity. You've got an opportunity to now rethink everything about what you do and really how wedded you are to any specific scheme. Now you've got to be wedded to the idea of maximizing the talents of somebody who you've never coached before. I mean, you really have never had a quarterback like Justin Fields, so it opens up all kinds of possibilities if you let yourself, you know, try to approach it as do more by doing less, and you'll get more from that by just not giving him as much to think about. Molly, I can't believe that he threw 13 passes, and all 13 were pocket passes. You know, never once did they move the pocket. That's something that they need to look at, go back and correct.
Let's try Shady. He's in Riverside. Hey, Shady.
What's up, guys? I was at the game yesterday. I think it was probably one of the best games in terms of entertainment and like storylines and how it all unfolded, and defense comes through the clutch again. But I mean, you know, one thing I definitely noticed being at the game, and it just seems to be the same issue with Nagy coming out of the timeouts unprepared.
Oh,
I think we had another false start yesterday.
Oh, dude, it's
you know, talking about Nagy, like I actually like him a lot as a head coach. You know, I agree with a lot of things you guys say. He gets in his own way. So what I was saying, my main reason for the call was, we script the first 15 plays, and it seems like every week, the first drive, we seem to move the ball. Why can't we have another set of 15 or so scripts and run through those 20 plays? Because there's no way a defense is going to be off balance the whole game. You know, why aren't we running the plays that work more, or why aren't we scripting more? You know, so that was my main question, but it was a great game.
Yeah,
understandable frustration.
He sounds like he was screaming his head off, probably at that moment when called a timeout and came in with an offside. Didn't you? I mean, that's like Elvis seeing Robert Goulet on television and just throwing a brick through the thing. I don't know how people watch that.
But Molly,
frustrating.
You can throw a brick at your TV, but it's already broken because it happened the week before.
It
continues to happen.
It's unbelievable. And then the explanation is like, oh, yeah, they forgot. Don't you give them the snap count again?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That one drove me out of my mind. All right, we're going to bring in Dan and Layla next. I believe it's Dan and Layla. Am I not right? Yes, correct. And we'll talk about the Emmys because Ted Lasso, a big winner. Or we'll talk maybe about the Bears because it's Victory Monday. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.